I have before me a passage in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. It is the gospel in spirit and power. And we don't need canned sermons. We don't need dried sermons. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God to touch our hearts and awaken us to the time in which we live. Paul wrote, I think, to Thessalonians. He said, you have no need that I remind you, tell you of the time in which you live. And I believe if we're paying attention, we understand exactly what he's talking about. In this chapter, first five verses, we're going to read chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to stop the reading right there. It's not the human wisdom. It's not the eloquent speaking. It's not the clever anecdotes, but it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When he takes the word, it is alive. And it comes and touches the heart and causes us to reflect on our condition. Sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's awakening. But when it comes, praise God, it touches the heart. And I believe every true man of God who handles the word of God, this ought to be the pattern and this ought to be the example of how to express and how to preach the word of God. I came with one message, one thought, Jesus Christ and him crucified, praise the Lord. In Acts it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul wrote to Corinthians, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the go-between between man and God, praise the Lord. And he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It starts because of the cross. We're here this morning. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, he paid the sacrifice, the price for your sin and my sin. That's why we can be here. It all starts with the cross. It all starts with the blood of Jesus. His blood ransomed our souls, praise God. Each drop of blood, the song says, bought me a million years. A soul was saved each time he shed a tear. The cross of Christ, praise God. Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the power of his life in us, praise God. And he expresses his personal inadequacy in another verse. I'm going to go to that in a minute. But praise God, it's the central truth of the gospel is redemption through Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ. You see how the plan of salvation unfolded. That Christ had to come and shed his blood because man was far from God. Man's heart was evil and sinful. And we could not do enough good works to save ourselves. Impossible. We were flawed from the beginning. This first parents brought sin into the world when they made the decision to eat the apple. God, go against God's word. But man, Jesus had to come to pay the awful price of sin. And he shed his blood willingly. He went to the cross to save you and I. He went to the cross and paid the price. Praise God, and shed his blood that you and I could be reconciled back to the Father, and that the vessel, this body, this vessel could be cleansed, that he could send the Holy Spirit, praise God, that the Spirit of God to dwell within us and empower us and strengthen us and lead us and guide us, praise God. The Holy Spirit could not come in if it weren't for the blood of Jesus. He could not dwell in an unclean vessel. It had to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit has come in, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the plan of salvation. I'll send another comforter, one called alongside to help, who will abide with you forever, praise God. And we need the comforter. We need the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and strengthen us along this Christian way. You see, this is not a popular message. This is not a feel-good message that is preached. Many pastors stay away from it. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't emphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only way the Spirit dwells within you is when he comes in through the baptism. If someone tells you, well, you're born again when you say the sinner's prayer, they're not telling you the truth. They're not telling you the truth. It's false. The simplicity of the gospel is right there in the Word of God. We see the power of God unloosed through the disciples. And Jesus said before he ascended, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was prior to Pentecost. When Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit descended and dwelt and set on them and went inside of them and baptized them. Praise God. Oh, Lord. The Holy Spirit's power was shown throughout the Word of God through the disciples, the apostles. In Acts 14, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. In the fourth chapter also, John prays, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy mighty hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In the fifth chapter of Acts, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. In the 14th chapter of Acts, it says, in a long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians, he talks, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. What was there in common with all these signs and wonders? What was the commonality? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. After the baptism came, the signs and the wonders came, praise God. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They walked in the Spirit, praise God. The Holy Spirit gave them strength and used them in the gifts of the Spirit, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Today, we have a watered-down message being preached. It's all about the goodness of God. It's all about works. It's all about saying the sinner's prayer. My brother and sister, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of God that works in the church. You know, I read something the other day that The Barna Poll, it's an organization that does surveys on churches. And this was came out in 2011, I believe. And they said 59% of the age group 18 to 29, 59% of the age group of 15 to 29 leave the church. They leave the church. Updated today, 65%, 18 to 29 leave the church. Two-thirds of the young people leave the church. What's wrong? What's wrong? Something isn't right. What's causing that? Well, blame it on the young people. Blame it on their lifestyle. Maybe we ought to blame it on the church. Maybe we ought to take a hard look at ourselves and say, what are we doing? Is the operation of the Holy Spirit alive and well in the congregation? Are the gifts in operation? Are there anointed preaching, anointed praying, anointed worship? What is it? My brother and sister, the Holy Spirit wants to move. And without the Holy Spirit, you know, there was a comment made by a preacher, I believe, of some religious leader from another country. And he made a comment. He said, it's amazing what the church is doing without the Holy Spirit. That's not a compliment. Oh, Lord, help us. Brother Ron, you always preach about the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. Because it's a necessity. It's important. How do you walk in the Spirit if the Spirit doesn't live inside of you? How do you move by the Spirit if the Holy Spirit isn't alive and well? Oh, you're a good person and they love this and love that and they do good works and they're nice people and they treat everybody nice and they sing in church and this and that and the other. That's fine. But is there a reality within? Praise God. Is there a movement? Is there power in the Holy Ghost? In the person? Are they living the life? Are they holding forth the gospel message? Are they being true? Praise God that it, today we need, we have a cafeteria style church. Well, I'll have some of this, I'll have some of this, that, and I'll have some of that, and I don't like that, and no, I don't go to prayer meetings, but, well, I like this fun stuff, and I like the entertainments and all these things. It's, oh, no. Lord, help us that the Spirit of God would work. Praise God. And these people that have left, that young people have left, what kind of church are they coming back to? That's the question. What kind of church would they come back to? Would they come back to a church that's on fire? We haven't seen a revival sent from heaven for quite a while. And someone said, we haven't seen it because we're content to live without it. We're satisfied to live without it. We're in our operation mode that it's automatic. Come to church, go home, nothing changes. And the Holy Spirit says, I want to move. I want to stir your hearts. I want to breathe fire upon the congregation. I want the power to be so real, praise God. When people come in, they're automatically, they're convicted, that they feel the presence of God and say, oh Lord, what is this? Like those men did on the day of Pentecost after Peter got done preaching. Men and brethren, what must we do? Something's not right. We feel there's something that touched our hearts, something that caused us to be stirred. What must we do? Today we have preachers trying to make people feel good and feel happy. And the Holy Spirit wants to make us holy. Praise God. When we're holy, we're going to be happy. When we're following the Lord, when we're in tune with Him, when the Spirit of God is moving, we're going to feel the joy of the Lord. Right now we got entertainments. And a lot of the churches, entertainment is a poor substitute for joy of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, help us this morning. I came, Paul said, with one message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. What is he talking about there? His own personal fear and weakness and trembling of handling the Word of God. Brother, I won't speak for my brothers, but I'll tell you, when I get on this pulpit, I come with fear and with trembling because I'm handling the Word of God. I've got to be an example. I want to be what God wants me to be, and I want to say what God wants me to say. No matter who agrees or disagrees, who likes it, doesn't like it, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I want to be loved by everyone. Yes, I do. But I'm not going to compromise the Word of God because your soul is at stake. Your soul is hanging in the balance. What are you going to do in that day? Praise God. What are you going to do? We're so used to seeing everybody break the rules. We live in a society where everybody breaks the rules. Park in the wrong parking spot, speed, go over the speed limit, do all kind of things, cheat on taxes, all kind of things. People break the rules. Well, those rules don't apply to me. I'm special. I can park in the handicapped spot because I'm special. Little things. You see what I'm saying? And God has a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. Well, churches, I'll attend once in a while. I'll attend once a week. I'll attend when I feel it, when it's okay, when it doesn't interfere with my lifestyle. Oh, I know this is not a popular message, but I'm sorry. I got to answer to God, and I don't want any blood on my hands. I'm telling you the way it is, my brother and sister, because in an instant, life could change. We saw it this week in that tragic accident. In an instant, we're gone. No time to get ready. Got to be prepared. Got to be walking with the Lord, my brother and sister. Oh, and we can all sit here and say, what a tragedy, what a loss it is. But all that counts is our soul right with the Lord. Is it good with us and God? Praise God. Are we living in that promise? Are we feeling the assurance that God supplies? You don't have to doubt. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry about it. Praise God. The Spirit within us witnesses to our spirit that we belong to Him. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Kept unto redemption until that last day. Praise God. When God is going to come, praise God, in the clouds. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us this morning. I was with you in much fear and trembling and weakness because I wanted to do the right thing. Paul had much opposition, but my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power. Send the anointing of the Holy Ghost, oh God. You that are longing, you that are seeking the baptism, don't be discouraged. And you that are not sure, pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Is this real? Do I need this? Is this absolutely necessary? Read the scriptures. What did Jesus say? He said to enter the kingdom, to see the kingdom, you must be born again. What is the born-again experience? A simple prayer at the altar? Or a life-changing event when the Holy Spirit comes in and turns you inside out and touches your soul? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, would you help us this morning? We're fighting a lot of opposition. Even in the Pentecostal ranks, the Holy Spirit is not emphasized. They talk about the Spirit and this and that and the other, but the real anointing, the emphasis on the baptism, walking in the Spirit, is not placed where it should be. I'm not being critical of any one church. I'm talking in general what I see across the board. And I say, Lord, help us. This message is not popular. This message is not one that will be accepted by many people, but that's okay. You see what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he enumerates so many things. They shall have a form of godliness, but denying the power. What does that mean? A form of godliness. Look pious, go to church, sing the songs, give to the church, do good deeds, but denying the power. Not exercising in the Holy Spirit. Not having received the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus must have given the wrong message when he told those disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He didn't say, go out there and evangelize. He didn't say, go out and start making, you know, telling people about me. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive and be endued with power from on high. What were they before the Pentecost? They were afraid. They were hiding out. Peter deserted the Lord. The rest of them ran and hid. They were with him for 3 years. They saw the miracles. Peter confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who he was, but he still denied him. What changed? Pentecost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit changed. It turned him inside out. Oh my God. And we're not preaching it today. We're not telling people about it today. What's going to change your life? Good deeds? A friendly church? A lot of friends? You think that's going to help you live right? You think that's going to break those habits? You think that's going to break that addiction? No, it's the power of God. Hallelujah. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. My brother and sister, I need that power. I can't do it without that power. Oh my God. No, let's have men's this and men's that, and let's get the women together, and let's have all. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but oh, brother, sister, we need the baptism. We need the Holy Spirit to be in operation in the church. What we got going on today is a shame. There was a men's conference sponsored by this big church in Springfield, Missouri, James River Church. A men's conference, a Pentecostal church, a men's conference to strengthen the young men. So they bring a performer from Las Vegas who danced on a pole and tore off his clothes. What in the right mind, what in the world would you think that's going to help somebody battle against the issues of the day? A Pentecostal church. God help us. We need to get back to basics. We need to get back to the Word of God. What does the Word say? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Lord, we want the signs to follow the Word and follow the church. We want the signs to be in operation in the church. We become satisfied with where we are spiritually. And that's a danger Because I read in the Gospels, in the epistles, press for the kingdom. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That sounds like an effort, a tremendous effort that has to be put forward. Peter and James and John, they all fought the good fight of faith, praise God. And we and you and I got to do the same thing. Oh, I'm not an apostle. No, I'm not either. But that's okay. We still got to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, praise the Lord. You see what's going on today? Jeremiah talks about it. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What's going to be the result? Children not get baptized with the Holy, not seeking the Holy Ghost? What kind of life, lifestyle, what kind of decisions are they going to make? Do you think the enemy's going to have mercy? You think the enemy's going to sit by and say, oh, I got him. Oh, I'm not going to bother them. I'm not going to bother this young man or this young lady. No, he's going after them. As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, Brother Ron, you're all worked up this morning. I don't know if that's serious. I'm telling you, it's that serious. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall do what I propose. And I pray you receive it. I pray you take it to heart. Because God is speaking to each and every one of us here this morning. And there will be no excuse. Brother Dennis was talking about the judgments this morning. Even the Christians, the raptured, are going to be judged. They're not going to lose their salvation, but they're going to be judged based on what they did with the gifts God gave them. How did they use them for the kingdom? Let alone the unbeliever. That's a whole nother judgment. Paul wrote to Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Pretty harsh. What does that mean? Where does doctrine come from? It comes from the church. The enemy wants to water down the message. The enemy wants to make it, you know, so that there's no emphasis on the power of God. Be a good person. Live life. Treat everybody good. And you're okay. That's not the word. That's not the word. Doctrines of devils. What a devilish doctrine. Do I need the Holy Spirit? Do I need the baptism? No, you're okay. You don't need it. I would be fearful if I said that to anyone. I would be fearful for my eternal soul. Brother, the church was born in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way it's going to operate is in that power. The only way it's going to be successful is in the operation of the Holy Spirit. Not how many people are sitting in the pews, not how much money we collect, not if we got a program on television, none of that. But is the Holy Spirit moving and operating in the church? Are people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, exercising in the Spirit? Is there anointed prayers? Is there anointed singing? Are there testimonies? Are the gifts in operation? That's what counts. That's what God wants to see. That your faith, brother, sister, would you come forward? I'm going to close. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you got to ask someone, am I all right? If you got to ask the pastor, the deacon, Sunday school teacher, mom or dad, am I all right? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because there is an eternity out there that we're all going to face. And God, the righteous judge, is going to judge us. His word. And we can know. Without asking one person, we can know. We can absolutely know. We can have that assurance within. Because you read in John's Gospel, I think it's 14th chapter, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we belong to Him. What else do you need? The Spirit witnesses with our spirit. He's the truth teller, amen? He's the one that, His word is infallible. And when the Holy Spirit gives you that assurance, you don't need anybody else. You have it from God Himself. Praise the Lord. Lord, continue to speak to us. Some people may want other things. I'm sorry for that. I really am. I saw a lot of former members this past week. Used to come here. Used to be with us. No longer. Made me sad. How are they doing spiritually? I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm not being negative. Don't take me wrong. I'm not saying. Where are they? Lord, help us this morning to get right. To get right and to stay right. To have our lamps all trimmed, oil in our lamps. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, Brother Ron, I'm 21 years old. Come on, give me a break. I don't know your timetable. I'm not being negative. I'm not trying to scare you. We don't have any guarantees for the next minute. But we have a guarantee from heaven. We're right with God. We're going to be with Him forever. I say, Lord, help us this morning. Let the Word of God have an impact on us. I want to see the Word of God change us. I want to see the Word of God put a hunger and a thirst within us. I'm hungry for God. Sometimes I think our legacy is part of a part of the problem. We've been in this so long, and we've seen God's hand in so many ways that we think we're grandfathered in. We think we can kind of just coast, and we're grandfathered into the kingdom. Well, after all, we've been in a church for 100+ years and preach the Holy Ghost and preach the salvation message and redemption and the blood of Jesus. Well, yeah, okay, great, wonderful. But it's how are we right now? How is it with our soul now? Do you have that assurance? I hope the message isn't blah, 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 blah. I hear it and I go out and it's gone. We're talking about eternity, my brother and sister. Lord, would you help us this morning to take your word to heart? May the Lord encourage you and bless you. May his name be praised.